G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, March 16. I'm John Barker and joining me on this occasion with Joel on holidays is Daniel Nuttall. Daniel, good afternoon.
How are you, Barks? Yeah, good to be filling in for Joel, obviously away for a few weeks, so I'll try my best to provide the same sort of results he does on a weekly basis.
Yeah, well, we've brought you in for a pretty big weekend. The first ever All-Star Mile, 5 million. 10 of them voted in by the public. As I've written in Best Bets and Winning Post this week, it's had its critics since the concept was announced, but it's turned out to be a race with a long tail, but a pretty high-quality race overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as you said, long tails, about three or four, obviously, that probably can't win. I'll get rid of probably can't win. But yeah, really good race. Elise, Mystic Jersey, you know, a couple of those three-year-olds, and then obviously Grunt, course specialist, and Happy Clapper, who has made a very good horse in his own right, take away the seconds to Weeks. But yeah, very good race, and I'm looking forward to the mile and the rest of the card. It's a lot of acceptances. Big field, so it'd be a good day for betting, that's for sure.
Definitely will be. I will be there. Let's start with the All-Star Mile, because I know your best bet on the program comes up in that race. Three-year-olds struck back with Sunlight winning the Newmarket last week. But you think a four-year-old mare could be the one here?
Yeah, for sure. I think Elise is the second-best mare in the country, Bucks. She was that win at Rose Hill Expressway Stakes just made, you know, two or three really good sprinters look pretty ordinary. Look second rate, really, the way she sort of ambled up and put them away. Obviously did all the hard work in the Futurity Group 1 last start. She's a terrific horse, Elise, and I expect her to be winning this. You know, it won't be a procession. Obviously Mystic Journey in terrific form. That Guineas win was very good. It's in for second, the 13. In for third, Happy Clapper. I think it's between those three, really. Probably doing some box quinellas and trifectas around those. And in for fourth, I think Grunt. Look, obviously runs well, Flemington 1600 metres. Probably the horse everyone thought of when this race was, announced. And I think with 61 last start, you can sort of forgive the margin there. Back to weight for age. She's won before. I think Grunt can run a good race. So my numbers, Elise Special, as you touched on top of 13 Mystic Journey, 1 Happy Clapper, and 4 Grunt.
Well, I'm with you on the top three. Got them in a different order. Mystic Journey, yeah, I just love these. I love these Gun Tasmanians that come over and sweep all before them. But Barrier 16 just put me off now. You know, she's going to, doesn't like to race inside horses anyway. But you'd think is going to be wide a lot of the journey. Is she going to get cover? Put me off her, the barrier. So I'm with Happy Clapper, actually. I just think these older horses, there's no Winks here. You know, the longer races, the three-year-olds, you don't... three-year-olds, they can find it a lot harder than you think they're going to when they're racing against other three-year-olds. I mean, admittedly, we're only talking here about... Hawkshot, Mystic Journey, and Amphitrite. But I've got Happy Clapper on top. I've got your special, Elise, for second, Mystic Journey in for third, and one of the other three-year-olds likely to go forward. We'll obviously see, but we'll know by race 8 how the track's playing, and that is Hawkshot, number 12. 1, 11, 13, and 12. For me, the other black type event, there's actually, as you mentioned, there are strong fields all day. There's actually two, and there's another black type race I've just spotted, but there's a few benchmark races that are worth 150, these grand finals that have all pulled full fields. But we'll just stick with the black type, apart from the All-Star Mile today. And the first of the black type races on the card is race 3, and that's the TBV Thoroughbred Breeders Stakes, 1200 two-year-old fillies at group 3 level.
Yeah, keen on one here in Talented, the two. Snitzel Philly from the Snowden Yard. Look, that microphone, look, finished 2.5 lengths behind microphone last of the Talented. Chased really hard there, well supported before the race. That form obviously reads really well. Microphone came out in Sydney, won quite easily, and is now one of the favourites for the Golden Slipper. So the form in that race is a little bit, there's been a few horses that have come out and won up since that Talented Stakes in behind Talented and Microphone. So keen on the two here down the straight. on top of this seven, Charlize. Same race, finished third there behind Microphone and Talented, about a length astern. In for third, I got the six, Varda. Good winner at debut at Bendigo, obviously a stronger race now. But I like the way he sort of closed there and won pretty softly on that occasion. And in for fourth, I've got California Honey, also comes out of that Bendigo race I mentioned. Missed the start, and I think the rider sort of made the wrong choice in going as far back as he did. But she finished off nicely. I think she can be much improved. Second up, two, Talented, on top of seven, six and eight.
With you, with Talented, in fact made Talented my best number two from Invincible Lotus, Favourite Things and Varda. So my numbers 2, 5, 3 and 6. The other black type race at Flemington is race 7, Seppel Wines March Stakes. This is a listed event over 1400 metres. Sees a couple of those who were hoping to be in race 8.
Yeah, with Zebulon here, Barks, the 13. Come back in terrific order. It's a horse that's been plagued with injuries. 7-year-old Gelding only had the 12 career starts. The second up run was very good against the pattern of the race. Third up now, should be a peak fitness. I think the 13 might prove hard to hold out. There'll be pace on the race, big field. And yeah, I think the 13 will be hard to hold out each way. I just think 650 when I last checked the market. Widgie Turf in next, ripper horse, never runs a poor race for you. In for third, I got the three, Hell of a Street, one of these Tasmanian gallopers for the Brunton Yard. And in for fourth, well, after the scratching of Teleplay, I put the 15 in, Poetic Dream. Nice trial before the first up run. Hasn't done much on race day since coming to Australia. Maybe at one at odds can improve. 13, Zebulon, on top of 1, 3 and 15.
No surprise to listeners that I am sticking with Hell of a Street, although like the fellow Tasmanians, cop the visitors. Barrier, number 16. I guess the other query is they were very keen to get into the All-Star Mile and for which he was made third emergency. So, you know, whether he is fresh enough for the 1,400 metres will be another question, but I couldn't go past Hell of a Street from Widgie Turf, Streets of Avalon, and four. Fourth, I've chucked in Manolo Blahnik. So my numbers 3, 1, 9 and 12. My best at Flemington on Saturday was race 3, number 2, Talented. And my value bet, an up-and-comer with the inform Rob Hickmott stable, and that is Bering Sea, race 5, number 14. Very heavily backed at Stony Creek, third up, won well there, and then Whirlwind finished from the back at Wangaratta over this distance of 2,000 metres, and I thought it was pretty good value at the $13. Your best bet, as we touched on earlier, Daniel, was Elise and Zebulon, the value.
I think Zebulon is good value. I think I completely agree with you, Bering Sea, though. That win at Wangaratta, although against much inferior opposition, was very, very good.
Actually, Bering Sea's your value, I see. Yeah. Sorry, I was briefly looking at Matt Hill's tips.
That's all good. Yeah, I thought Bering Sea's fourth up winner, Wangaratta, was very good. Obviously, stayed to the 2,000 metres. I think Robert Hickmott, obviously, you know, since moving away from Team Williams, building up a nice team of gallopers, and I think this guy fits that bill, and I think, as you said, a good each-way price, definitely worth one to have a nibble at.
All right, Rosehill Gardens, the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, and big fields throughout the day, really, really big. The main race is the Group 1 Coolmore Classic. The rest of them are kind of lead-ups. Obviously, we've got one of the great days on the calendar next Saturday, Golden Slipper Day, 5 Group 1s, Winx, the Autumn Sun, you name it. So this is something of the calm before the storm, and throwing the spanner into the works, if I can just get another cliche in there, is the weather. Have you studied the bomb recently, Daniel? Do you know exactly how much rain they're getting or going to get?
In terms of sheer numbers, no. But looking at the weather yesterday on the Sydney forecast for the next couple of days, leading up to the weekend, it's just rain. Rain and more rain, so I dare say soft 7, heavy 8. You know, I'm not too sure how good Rosehill's drainage is, but I'd be very surprised come race day if it's not in that, soft 7, heavy 8 range.
Pretty amazing how, you know, you get to a Sydney feature race day and it just suddenly starts to bucket down. They should run it at Menindee and the drought would be all over. Canadian Club Maurice McCartan Stakes is the first of the black type races at Rosehill. This is a Group 3 over 1,100 metres.
Yeah, look, I wasn't too keen. I think it's a good race, obviously, Group 3, but I wasn't too keen for the play in terms of a bet. Like, I've got Jungle Eyes on top, the 10, just a very consistent gelding for the Brad Widdop Yard, underrated trainer in the New South Wales Metro ranks. Last three runs have been very good, win and two placings, and does handle the soft ground as he showed last start. So I'm going to have the 10 on top of the 4, Easy Eddie, another who will like the wet ground that's expected. 3, Fiery Heights, a Queenslander who, yeah, brilliant record, 34 starts, 9 wins, 13 seconds. He always runs a good race for connections. And we'll go 5, the Trekking, for Godolphin in next. 10, 4, 3, 5, Bucks.
That brings us to the two last gasp slipper trials. Last chance to get in. These are run at Group 3 level as opposed to a lot of the trials that are at Group 2 level. And I guess these ones aren't really right up the top of slipper betting. These races do occasionally throw up the slipper winner. The first of them is Race 3, Harold's Magic Knight Stakes. Two-year-old fillies, level weights, 1,200, Group 3, as I mentioned. A Theory is a pretty highly regarded filly, but has only seen good tracks so far, so I don't know how short you would, I don't know how short the odds would be that you want to be taking, but you're going, you're trusting A Theory to get through the ground, Daniel.
I am, but you're right. It's a bit of guesswork involved. You're not too sure how some of these go through the wet. A Theory on top. I'm a real big fan of this filly. I thought her Blue Diamond run was quite good. Top of the straight looked like she was the one to beat, coming down the outside, but Lye did get the better of her that day. But happy to have A Theory in this, obviously in a slightly easier race. Next, Catch Me, Snowden filly, just needs to learn to settle, really. Does a lot wrong, but her first two wins were terrific as well. She can get back to that level. She's a definite chance. Again, a query on the wet. One, Probabile, New Zealand visitor in next, one winner of her last three. And Ice Bath, I think one over the odds. Might be looking for a little bit further, admittedly, this horse, but really like the way she's finished her races off in her past couple, and maybe if she finishes, settles a little closer, she could be one at big odds worth throwing into multiples. 4-3-1-14.
The Colts division is race 4, the Bowman's Office Furniture Pago Pago Stakes, or Pango Pango, depending on where you went to school. Your best bet comes up here, Daniel, and this is a horse that has seen a heavy track, albeit didn't win.
Exactly right. Definitely a factor in making it my best, the Deep Field Colt Cosmic Force, but I just really like the last start run, Bucks, behind Microphone. We've touched on earlier, obviously one of the favourites for the slipper. Was a really good field that day. Accession, Castle Vecchio types finished a few lengths behind Cosmic Force. Granted, it was probably settled more generously in the run, which might have inflated, I guess, the finishing margin on top of some of those horses, but really good run. I know the stable have a bigger opinion of this horse, and I think if you know a repeat of the last start in an inferior race will be hard to beat. 420 is at the moment a pretty good price, I think. So happy to have on top and my best of the day in Sydney, 2 Cosmic Force. On top of the 4, Yulong Savings, having his first two runs in Melbourne, his first go in the Sydney way going. 3 Stronger and 12 Famous. But admittedly, after probably the first two selections, it's a little bit of a lottery. But yeah, my numbers, 2, 4, 3, 12.
Race 5 at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday is the Chandon S Far Lap Stakes, 1,500 for three-year-olds at Group 2 level. And here, the wet track has got everyone coming out of the trees to back Very Elegant, who has that wet track form, 4 starts on soft for 3 wins and a second, and of course is coming out of a second in the Vanity behind Amphitrite. That form held up quite okay in the Australian Guineas, and you're of that. I noticed that the fillies for a long time never won the Far Lap Stakes, but they've actually won it fairly frequently in recent times, and you're with a couple of fillies here. In fact, you might be with your top 3 are all fillies here, Daniel.
There you go. Well, the fact that they've won last few editions makes me a little bit more confident, but Very Elegant, yeah, as you touched on, very good wet track form, of course, beat the Oaks winner in Aristia at Caulfield, over 2,000 metres in the wet going. Terrific run over probably what was a little bit short of her best distance, 1400 metres. She was probably one of the runs of the day for mine behind Amphitrite in the Vanity. Stepping up to 1500 here now, she'll be very hard to beat, no doubt, very elegant. Zalate in next to 12. I know I'm not Joel Marshall, he probably would have had it on top. I know he is a big fan of this horse, why wouldn't she be? Terrific run in a Group 1 against the older horses there. So happy to have her in next, the 12, in for third. 7, Seabrook. Rarely runs a poor race. The gate wasn't a help last start at Randwick. And in for fourth, we'll have 1, Rainier. Just had no luck in the Guineas. Convinced he's a better horse than what he's shown so far this preparation. Giving him one more chance to run a cheeky race. 11 on top, very elegant, of 12, 7 and 1.
Race 6 is the Schweppes Sky High Stakes, 2,000 metres. And here... Chris Waller we see a couple of horses here who get to step out from the shadow of Winx, or most notably Patrick Aaron, and this race over 2,000 metres does look very well suited third up Patrick Aaron.
Exactly right. Love the first up run behind Winx. Last start, a little bit disappointing, but you know, willing to forgive that. Now stepping to third up 2,000 metres. Of course, won the Group 1 Metrop third up last preparation, did Patrick Aaron. And look, I think in this race, it's a tough race. I think it's like $10 or $11. So it might be worth a small each way play, Patrick Aaron. But I think tracking up okay so far this preparation. Happy to have on top Barks, the 1, on top of 3, Red Cardinal. Unexpected winner last start. It was on the soft track, so obviously those conditions won't be a problem for this horse. The 8, Gallic Chieftain, and the 6, Orvray. It's quite good last start behind Hyam. 1, Patrick Aaron, on top of 3, 8 and 6, race 6.
The big one's race 7 at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. Coolmore Classic 1500, Fillies and Mares, quality handicap, Group 1, worth $600,000. And I'll tell you what, 20 plus 4 emergencies, or there's 20 to face the starter anyway. And good luck.
Yeah, I know sometimes... a bit of a cliche saying you can make a case for all of them, but looking down the page, the 20 runners that are guaranteed to start anyway, you can make a case for probably 18 or 19 of them. Genuine claims, really. This is such a tough race. I've got X-Dine on top. I've made her my best value of the day as well, just because I thought she'd probably come up around $16, $17. She's come up $27 instead. Happy to take that price. I thought she was pretty good last start, really, in a race that wasn't run to suit her. The first up win told me she's come back in terrific order, probably in career best form, winning over 1,200 metres off a hot speed. She'll get a hot speed here today, no doubt. Sam Clippen, pretty well accustomed with the horse already in the two starts, his preparation. I think she'll be one to watch late for sure, as will a lot of these coming off a hot speed. But happy to have the 4 on top, X-Dine. Top of the 20, Moss Trip, loves the wet track, no doubt. So we hope in the more rain, the better. In for third, look, I've got 24, Pohu Takua. I don't think I've pronounced that correctly at all. It's the 4th emergency, but definitely a chance at 50 kilos if she can get a start. And 14, the stablemate, Savitiano. Tough race, very tough race. Many in the quaddie, 4, 20, 24, 14.
In Pohu Takua, or indeed, however she is pronounced, you'd think if there aren't, there's already one out. If there isn't another one out, you'd think she'd be going around at Kembla on Friday in the Kembla Classic. X-Dine, by the way, listeners, if Daniel didn't talk you into X-Dine then, you can read all about it. He's got an interview with Kurt Goldman on the inside back of your winning post this week. The last of the black type races at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. Race 8, Highland Race Colours Ajax Stakes. Also over the 1,500 metres, and this one is at Group 2 level.
Yeah, that's it. I thought it was hard to separate my top two selections here in Kaonic and Land of Plenty. I went with the 7, Kaonic, Chris Waller train. I love that win at Flemington on a wet track, Barks. It was over 1,800 metres, a little bit longer than the 1,500 he'll see here, but it was a terrific win. And look, I think a first up run was okay. Improve a second up, three starts, 2 wins and a third in 3 second up runs. I think he'll be much improved here, and definitely one at each way odds on a car that is got plenty of value on it, I think. 1, Land of Plenty, as I touched on. Michael Rodd flies in from Singapore for the ride. Has been very good in all 3 starts and 1,500 metres, that's certainly no knock. The four Widgie Turf, if here, I'm not too sure if it's been scratched yet, but if it decides to run here, definitely a chance. And the two Dreamforce in next. I think 50 Stars is another one you could throw in there as well. 7, 1, 4, and 2, my numbers.
Alrighty, and Daniel's best for Rose Hill. A reminder was in the Pago, race 4, number 2, Cosmic Force, and his value bet at very good value in the main race, the Coolmore Classic, race 7, number 4, Eckstein. Talk us through your best and value on the Parks track at Morfordville. The Parks Morfordville Parks track gave us in our publications a little bit of blessed relief this week with only 67 acceptors because they were enormous everywhere else. Your best, and Paul Richards agrees with you, Daniel, is in race 5, the 1400 metre benchmark 70, the Amy Handicap, and it's the Aaron Purcell trained Pasito.
Yeah, look, third up from a long break, Barks. Third run for Aaron Purcell. Of course, previous with the Tony McAvoy yard. So I had been running around in Adelaide prior to the stable change. Three starts, two wins here on the Parks track. I really like the last start, Moonee Valley run. I think Tbilisi, the winner there, goes pretty well. And this is a far inferior race for mine. Claims three after Justin Huxtable. Sorry, Justin Huxtable claims three. And that's the only carry 56.5, which is what he carried last start. So $2 or $2.05 when I last checked. Pretty good price. Happy to put that, take that and play in multis. In terms of a value bet, we'll wait to the last in race 8, Autumn Street, resuming for the Chris Beig stable. Horse goes quite well fresh and does race well here on the track. I thought it was a tough race, this. Could have made a case for a few, but I thought Autumn Street presented as a good value bet, and will be one who'll be settling close and does get advantage of a claim to an informal apprentice. So happy to have best race 5, number 1, Pasito, and the value, race 8, number 5, Autumn Street.
Metro Racing in Queensland this Saturday is at Aquas Park Gold Coast, and don't the trainers and owners love it, because they've got 150 odd acceptors here over 10 races. And again, we wait till quite late in the day for your specials, Daniel. The first of them comes up at 5:02 Eastern Daylight, and that is race 8. It's in the Cutis Jewel, worth $200,000 for 3-year-olds. It's race 8, number 4, McEwen.
Yeah, that's the best. Look, I'll start with a disclaimer. I'm not too confident on this card here, really. It's so many chances in every race, as you said, plenty of acceptances. But had to make a best, it would be McEwen. I think it's a talented, lightly raced gelding, quite talented. Should have won last time, I thought of Dooman, just had no luck there whatsoever. Drawn wide, barrier 18, but look, we'll probably go back. And with the likely speed on, he'll be the one coming down the middle late and hopefully be hard to hold out. In terms of a value, we go to the next race, Gold Coast 9, and I think King Lear is one that can run a bit of a cheeky race at a big price. Dropped 6 kilos from the last start Eagle Farm run, where he's, I thought, one of the runs of the race there. It was also quite good at Randwick to start prior in a stronger race than this. But yeah, carries 54, dropped 6 kilos. And another race with many chances, I think one to have a couple of dollars each way on race 9, number 14, King Lear.
Alrighty, across the Nullarbor, they are racing at Ascot once again, and the highlights are the Oaks and Derby lead-ups, the Oaks lead-up, the Natasha Stakes, race 6, BJ Ryan likes number 11, a Dark Choice, up against the stablemate to be ridden by Willie Pike Adornment, who will be the favourite. BJ reckons Dark Choice can knock her off. And the Derby lead-up is race 7, the Schweppes JC Roberts Stakes. This one's over 1,800 metres. And BJ likes number 1, Regal Power. This one is Williams, White and Peters Investments at about $2.80. That is race 7, number 1. BJ's best at Ascot, race 3, number 1, Express Flirt. His value bet, race 8, number 3, Noir de Rue, at around about touching the double figures there. That leaves us only, we won't pretend to know anything about New Zealand. We'll say you got 3 weeks of no New Zealand, and then Joel will be back. So that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. We've got form not only for the Saturday, but for Friday night and Sunday. There's a big country championship qualifier at Grafton on Sunday. And of course, on Friday night, it is Alistair Clark Stakes night at the Valley. So plenty of form in your winning post and plenty of good reading. Some of it from Daniel in the editorial pages. Plenty to keep you occupied. Still only $5.50. Finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. Daniel, well, in my typical gutless style, I think I fell into a Villiers last week, so that serves me right. I'm going to have 10 each way on something at a bit better odds this time, and that is Flemington Race 5, number 14, Bering Sea.
Yeah, look, I've split it up again. I know when I was last on the preview podcast, Joel gave me a bit of lip for it, but I think it's the best way to go. I'm going to split it up. 5 on Eckstein in the Group 1 Coolmore at 27-1, just $5 on her. And I've got a $15 multi. Elise will be hard to beat at 360 in the All-Star Mile into my best in Adelaide, Pasito at $2.05 mark. 15 there will win you $110 if it gets up.
Good stuff. Thanks for joining me. Both Daniel and I will talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.